Been spending the last couple of years, as you know, in Hong Kong, observing different cultural traditions. And this last year, we had to move. So we moved from one house to another house. This new house was in more of a, if you can get rural in Hong Kong, we now live in rural Hong Kong. And because of that, we got to observe a lot of the traditional customs of our neighbors, some of whom had lived in this area for generations and generations and generations. And around Chinese New Year, it was a little bit of a shock because they have a real urge to set off fireworks at Chinese New Year. It didn't matter what time of day, it didn't matter night, day, mid-afternoon, they were setting off fireworks all the time. Not necessarily the ones that you see in the sky, sometimes just the noisemaker types. Just I'd be sitting in my office working, and all of a sudden, you know, boom, it's going off at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The reason they do this is because many of them believe that to start the new year right, you got to scare away evil spirits who are in the area. Some of it do, I think, just because they do it every year. But around that time, lots of temples nearby, Buddhist temples nearby, have a lot of things going on. We live really close to a place called the Wishing Tree. People go there and chuck a wish into the tree, hoping that their wish for the next year would come true. And so we could hear all the loudspeakers of all the different politicians that were coming through and speaking at these things, and crowds of people. The traffic was terrible for those 2 or 3 weeks there, because we live so close to that wishing tree. But also going on at the wishing tree and at the temples nearby was a custom they call the lantern lighting festival. I got a couple pictures here for you of this lantern lighting festival. They do this for the firstborn sons that are born into the family in the villages during the preceding year. Especially the one clan there, family there, the Tang clan. They have the traditional lantern lighting rituals. The 15th day of the Lunar New Year, they get together with their family. They bring the new baby boy. He's all dressed up, kind of like so. And it's a time of celebration that they have a new son in the family. It's very important. They're introducing this new son to probably relatives who are coming into the area, as well as to their ancestors at the temple there and the deities that they're worshiping there. And that's their tradition every year. Lots of noise, lots of lanterns, lots of excitement, sometimes lots and lots of people, as you can see in this picture. They're excited about the birth of these sons. See, the line needs to continue. The father has a son. Hopefully that son has a son. That son has a son. And it's a big deal when you have a son in Hong Kong. Well, same is true in the spiritual world. In the way God has set things up, He wants us to have, shall we call it, a spiritual line. One person leading to another person, going on through time. And 2 Timothy 2:2 talks about this spiritual line. In fact, let's tie two verses together here. First, 1 Corinthians chapter... Oh, I got the Chinese on there still again. 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 1 says this: "Be followers of me as I also am of Christ." It starts with Christ. He's at the head of the line. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. And then Paul says, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Starts with Christ, goes to Paul, goes to those at Corinth who were following Christ. He communicated that this was very important to Timothy, as we see here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Because you've heard things from me. You communicate that. You keep the spiritual line going. This morning, we're going to think about this topic. I'm going to ask you two questions. Kind of simple questions. First question is this: who are you following? And the second question, who is following you? Who are you following? And who is following you? We're going to look very carefully at just this one little verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. It begins there with the first phrase, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses." He starts by talking about hearing. Who are you listening to today? When you need advice, when you're not sure what to do, when you have a big decision to make, who are you listening to? Do you go to the experts? Hey, it's often good to go to experts. They know more than you do. But if it's a spiritual matter, it's a matter of your what direction in life, where do you go? Do you go to people who are unsaved experts? What if you look at, hear some advice and what God says is kind of different than what you're hearing when you go to the experts? What if what God says is different from what everybody around you would normally do? What if God's ideas are different from the regular idea in the culture? What do you do? Who are you listening to? Are they saved? Not just any old saved person will work either, because I know a lot of saved people who might not give such good advice. They're not really following Christ. Just because someone's been saved a long time doesn't mean that what's coming out of their mouth is something you should follow. Are they saved? Are they mature? Are they following Christ? Are they the kind of people that can say, that can truly say, follow me as I follow Christ? Who are you listening to? Are you following people who are saved, mature, following Christ themselves? And then when you're listening to a sermon, when you're listening to the Word of God, when you're listening to advice that is biblical advice, what are you hearing? This word for hearing is an interesting word. It has a couple different aspects to it. The first of it has the idea of active listening, kind of like active versus passive listening. It has the idea of paying attention in it. I have four children. You all know that. And my four children, sometimes they listen to varying degrees of effectiveness. My wife calls my daughters to come to lunch, and they're back in the back room playing, and nobody comes. So I go back to the back room and I say, "Did you hear your mother call?" They said, "Yes, we did." "What did she say?" "We have no idea." "You heard her, but you weren't paying attention. You didn't know what the message was." This message they usually like, come to lunch, you know? They heard, but they weren't paying attention. They were busy with their own affairs. They were busy building that Lego. They weren't paying attention to what was going on. They heard something, but they didn't care enough to listen. So hearing has the idea of paying attention. Some of you here today are going to be doing some passive listening. You hear me talking here. 10 minutes after the service, somebody asks you, "What was the sermon about?" You're going to say, "I know I heard something in there." It's easy to do. Passive listening. God's looking for active listeners. How's your listening? This idea also has another aspect to it. It's understanding listening. Understanding versus confused listening. Do you care to understand what you are hearing? Let's say you hear the message, you hear the words. But what's the meaning? Do you understand the meaning? Michelle and I were teaching Julia how to ride a bike. And she wanted to learn to ride the bike. But she kind of would get all freaked out, scared while riding the bike, especially if there's even a little bit of a hill. She'd start screaming while riding the bike. She's sure she's going to crash. She's sure she's going to fall over. And we'd yell to her, "Use the brakes, use the brakes. If it's going too fast, just put the brakes down." But instead of putting the brakes down, she'd put her feet down. And so if the hill was even a little bit steep, the feet aren't working to stop the bike. So she's got her feet down. She's screaming going down the hill. And we say, "Julia, use the brakes, use the brakes." We get to the bottom of the hill. Thankfully, she hasn't crashed. "Why didn't you use the brakes? Didn't you hear me saying that?" "Yeah, I heard you saying that. So why didn't you do it?" What are brakes? You know, it would have been nice to ask that question before you started going down the hill, you know? She heard me tell her, "If you go too fast, use the brakes." But she didn't know what I meant by that. How's your listening? Do you care if you don't understand? You read God's Word. Some things are really obvious. You read it and you know exactly what it means. Other things, it requires a little bit of studying. That's why God tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some things you do need to study to find out what God's saying, find out what He means. Do you care to find out? God wants us to listen. He wants us to listen, though, with understanding. Excuse me. How's your listening? Do you care to understand? You hear a sermon. You understand most of it, but there's a part of it that wasn't quite clear to you. Do you care to come up to the pastor afterwards and say, "Hey, there's part of it I didn't quite get. It wasn't quite clear. What does God mean in that passage?" Do you care enough to ask that question? Because it all begins with listening. The things that you have heard. Who are you listening to? What are you listening? How are you listening? What are you hearing? But it doesn't just end with listening. A lot of Christians, that's pretty much what their Christian life is about. It's about listening. We read the Bible ourselves. We come to church. We hear a sermon. That's good. That's where you got to start. But you got to build something on that. And the next part of the verse goes beyond just listening. He says there in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. This listening needs to be followed by consistent doing. He talks about things, this truth being committed to faithful people. To commit something means to entrust for safekeeping. A couple weeks we were in Hong Kong. We didn't have a lot of stuff, and so we didn't have a washing machine or anything like that. So when our clothes got dirty, we took them down to the laundromat. And in Hong Kong, there's a lot of laundromats. They're quite effective. They do a good job. They're pretty quick. They wash everything. They dry it all. They fold it all. They fold everything. They iron everything, I think, sometimes. I entrust my clothes to the laundromat. I don't entrust my money to the laundromat. If I got money, I'm not taking it there. I'm taking that to the bank. I'm going to the ones with a track record of keeping things safe. Clothes goes to the laundromat. Money goes to the bank. I look at the track record. What is their past? What have they done? What can I rely on them for? Same thing's true in our Christian lives, in our service to God. How's your track record? Can God entrust truth to you? Can He entrust spiritual responsibility to you? What is your track record? Are you a faithful person? This idea of faithfulness has the idea of trustworthy. There's a track record there where people know that you can be relied upon. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about the same idea. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 5 through 7, Jesus gives a very long sermon. Sermon on the Mount. Lots and lots and lots of truth in the Sermon on the Mount. But at the end, He drives this point home with a short story. It's a story about listening, but not just listening. It's a story about two men. One's wise and the other one's foolish. What makes the wise man wise? What makes the foolish man foolish? Well, He tells us. Matthew chapter 7, we'll look at verse 24 to 27. Very familiar story. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So you have a wise man. What made the wise man wise? Well, first, he was a good listener. He heard the sayings of Christ. Second, he was a consistent doer. He heard, and then he did. And God says that this kind of person is a wise person. He's like the man who built his house on the rock, and when the hard times came, he stood firm. The second man, he's different. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Here we have a foolish man. What makes the foolish man foolish? He hears the same thing the wise man heard. But he's not faithful. He doesn't use what he heard. He hears these sayings of Christ and he does them not. This guy's not trustworthy. You can't commit things to him. He hears, but he doesn't do. It starts with your listening. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Are you an active listener or a passive listener? Are you an understanding listener or are you a confused listener because you just don't care what you're hearing? What are you doing? Are you a faithful person? Can spiritual responsibility be entrusted to you? Are you one of these faithful men that Paul talks about here in 2 Timothy chapter 2:2? He says, the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Here's the next step. First we listen, then we do consistently, but then we need to be communicating to other people. Here we have a progression here from competent hearing to consistent doing to capable communication. Paul tells Timothy, look for people who have the ability to teach. He says they shall be able to teach others also. Notice he says that it's in the future tense. They will be able to. Maybe right now they're not ready yet. Maybe they don't have that ability, but they will be able to do this. Teaching is a learned ability. How does somebody become a teacher, especially of spiritual truth? Well, it starts with listening. We just talked about that. Build upon that listening, the doing. Upon the doing, someone entrusts responsibility to you. They say, hey, I would like you to teach. I've seen your testimony. I've seen that you are faithful. Can you teach? And then often when we first start teaching, especially in my case, you copy somebody who was a good teacher. You learn from them. You do what your teachers did. You follow them as they follow Christ. You follow their teaching methods. That they're your pattern that you follow when you first begin. It's kind of like when I was learning trumpet. I studied with Nelson Node for many years. And at first, eventually I became a trumpet teacher for a while, but it didn't start that way. It started by me as a little kid showing up in the basement right down here. And every week, listening to Mr. Node teach me. And listening to him give me a sermon also. It was about half sermon and half a trumpet lesson. But every week, practicing, listening. And then building upon that listening, the doing, the daily practicing, opportunities to play the trumpet in church. Later on, playing in small groups, playing in orchestras, things like that. Consistent doing. And then beyond that, in college, playing the trumpet in different groups there. And then as they were looking for someone to hire to teach trumpet, they said, well, this guy here, he seems to have listened well. He seems to be performing well. I think he could teach. So they asked me, they entrusted me the responsibility when I was in seminary. Hey, we want to hire you to teach 30 people. Small children, how to play the trumpet. How do I do that? Well, I copy the example of my teacher. What Mr. Node did, what other trumpet teachers taught me, I did what they did. It's kind of how it goes. Same thing's true in the spiritual life. It starts with listening, learning. You gotta know something before you can teach somebody else. But you can't just know it and have it in your head. It's got to be something that's part of you. It's your life. It's what you live out. It's what you do consistently. If you're not listening and doing consistently, you're not ready to teach yet. But then a leader sees you. Maybe a Sunday school teacher asks you to help out. Maybe the pastor asks you to do something. Maybe someone says, hey, I'd like to give you this responsibility. And so you get an opportunity to teach some. And what do? I don't know how to teach. It's a learned ability. You follow the pattern you've seen before. The faithful, good pattern. You follow them as they follow Christ. It says, we're looking for people who have the ability to teach others also. Not just an ability, but a mindset to duplicate themselves. It's not just about me receiving this information, but I want to pass it on to other people. That's the mindset we should have, to duplicate ourselves. The truth is, it doesn't stop with me. It doesn't stop with you. We are not the end point of the teaching. It needs to continue on. Do you have this mindset to duplicate? God wants each of us as believers to be teachers. Think, wait a minute, look at this verse, 2 Timothy 2:2. It's about from Paul to Timothy. Timothy is a young man, he's a preacher. This is not about me, this is about preachers. To some extent that's true, that is who the background of this passage. But you know what, God wants each one of us to be a teacher. God is, each one of us is a believer. We need to be teaching others also. Turn to Hebrews chapter 5. Let me show you how this pattern is true, not just for preachers, not just for elders and deacons and Sunday school teachers, but for each one of us as believers. God wants us to be teachers. Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 11 and 12. Hebrews 5, 11 and 12. The writer of Hebrews is writing to believers like you and me. And he says, he wants to keep teaching them. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Well, what's the writer of Hebrews saying here? He's saying, at this point in your Christian life, you should be teaching others also. But you're not. You should have been. But you're not. Why is that? Back in verse 11. Because they had a problem in their hearing. They were dull of hearing. Paul says, I want to teach you more things, and you should be teaching others also, but you can't. You're not there yet. You should be. You should be teachers. but you haven't been listening. And if they haven't been listening, that means they haven't been doing. They're not ready to that point. But each one of us, as we follow Christ, we should be progressing toward the point where we are teachers. Now, not everybody's going to be standing up in Sunday school teaching, because otherwise there'd be nobody listening, you know. But there's many different areas in which we teach spiritual truth. Mothers, fathers, you are teachers of your children. You should be teaching them spiritual truth. You've got neighbors, you've got family members, you've got co-workers. We should be teaching others also the things of Christ. Many of these people have never heard the gospel, or if they have, they've never yet not yet accepted it. We need to be teaching them what God says through our words, through our example. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ around us. We should be teaching, exhorting one another daily, encouraging one another. We should be teaching, communicating spiritual truth. Each person should be looking for people who are younger in the faith than they are to come alongside them and say, hey, maybe we should do a Bible study for a while. Maybe you should come along with me. Follow me as I follow Christ. That should be our attitude, to duplicate ourselves. Not just to be on the receiving end, but to be passing on the truth to children, to younger believers. We started with those questions. Who are you following? But the second question is very important too. Who is following you? God wants us to duplicate ourselves. He wants us to teach others also. There's an illustration that's probably been overused, but I'm going to use it anyway. It's an illustration from geography. By the way, here's our outline that we've been following here. We started with the competent hearing, build upon that consistent doing. And then thirdly, we need to be having capable communication, teaching others also. Here's the illustration here from geography. You've got two major bodies of water. I'm sure you heard this illustration before. You've got the Jordan River along here in Israel. Scripture mentions it many, many times. This river is alive. It's flowing. It's flowing down from the Sea of Galilee all the way down to the Dead Sea. Dead Sea, well, the water doesn't flow anywhere out of it. It just kind of stays here. It's one of the thickest bodies of water in the world. They call it the Dead Sea. It's got full of salt. The water can't flow out. As believers, we're supposed to be like the Jordan River, flowing. The water doesn't stay there. It just keeps on going. We're not supposed to be like the Dead Sea, where it just kind of stays and stagnates and doesn't go anywhere. We're supposed to be passing on this truth, teaching others also. Because it doesn't stop with us. It needs to continue. We need to pass it on to other people. Here's the progression. We see it in these verses we're looking at today. It starts with Christ. Then those who we follow. Maybe pastors, mature believers in Christ, those who have mentored us. Then it comes to us. Then there should be people after us, though, those who follow us. And hopefully down the road, those who follow you. And then beyond that, maybe those who follow you. It should be continuing on and on and on and on. But it does not stop with you. You are not the end point. It needs to be passed on. We need to duplicate each one. Let me maybe illustrate it as a chain. All these things are links in a chain going on and on and on and on. We shouldn't be the last link in the chain. There needs to be links after us. Or maybe you put it this way. I'm always riding trains in Hong Kong. There's the Hong Kong MTR up there. Maybe it's more like a train. Starts with Christ. He's at the front of the train. We follow the people who follow as they follow Christ. People following us. The problem is often the train kind of stops here. There's no you. And then if there's no you, there's no them either. And then we got a really, really, really short train. It's not supposed to be a short train. It's supposed to continue. It does not stop with you. We are supposed to be teaching other people also. And this is the pattern we saw with those who were taught by Christ and those who were taught by the apostle. Here's the pattern we see. Paul followed Christ. Timothy followed Paul, who followed Christ. And those at Ephesus followed Timothy, as Timothy followed Christ. Let's look at another apostle, Peter. Peter followed Christ. John Mark followed Peter as Peter followed Christ. And then, of course, John Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark. And those who for whom Mark wrote the Gospel, they followed Mark as Mark followed Christ. Let's look at the Apostle John. What happened with him? Same thing. Whoops, button didn't work. Here we go, John. John followed Christ. A guy with the most interesting name, Polycarp, followed John, who followed Christ. And then Irenaeus followed Polycarp as he followed Christ. This is the way it should be, not just at the beginning of church history, but it should be kind of continuing on today. It doesn't stop with us. It doesn't stop with Faith Bible Church. It doesn't stop with each one of you here in the pew. It needs to continue with us. Who are you following? Who is following you? It doesn't stop with you. Think about these questions here. First of all, who are you following? Are you truly following Christ? A lot of people say they're following Christ, but if you look at their life, it doesn't look like they're following Christ. Let's say they're following money, following position, following the pressure of peers, maybe family. Ask yourself this question this morning. Are you truly following Christ? Is your focus upon Him? Beyond Christ. Maybe there's a mentor in your life. We all follow other people as they follow Christ. We have people who are our examples. I can think of people as I grew up who I followed as they followed Christ. I can think of missionary biographies and biographies of Christians of the past. I've read of their life and I say, I'm going to follow them as they follow Christ. This morning, who are you following? There's a lot of people calling for you to follow them. You watch a lot of TV, you might be following them. And let me tell you, they're not following Christ. What are you reading? Be careful. Those authors, even in fiction, maybe seem to say, I read this just for entertainment. Follow their thought patterns, the way of their thinking. Good chance they're not following Christ. Who are you following? Are you ultimately following Christ? Who are you allowing to influence your thinking? What are you listening to? The second question is also important. Who is following you? We don't often ask ourselves this question. Who's your disciple? Who are you calling along yourself? Come, follow me as I'm following Christ. Can you actually say that? Are you followable? No, God's not looking for perfect. Be perfect like I'm perfect. No, only God can say that. But we should be able to say others, I'm trying to follow Christ. Follow me as I'm following Christ. Come along with me. Let's go together. Who's following you? Are you followable? Are you, if you're going to be followable, first it all starts back where we started in the beginning of the sermon. The listening, the things you have heard. Who are you listening to? And then building on that, what are you doing? What is the pattern of your life? Is it a faithful life? Once again, I didn't say perfect. Faithful. A consistent pattern of following Christ. And then do you have that mindset to duplicate yourself? Are you looking for others to come alongside and say, hey, come with me. Let's follow Christ. Can someone truly follow you as you follow Christ? And are you seeking those to come along with you and follow? You know, it doesn't stop with you. Sometimes we just think, hey, it's America. We kind of have a consumer mentality. But that's not God's mentality. God's mentality is to be a servant, to help others. And that's what God wants. He has a spiritual line, a line that didn't start with us and it shouldn't end with us. It started with Christ and it continues beyond us. What difference are we making? Who are you following? And who is following you? Paul wrote to Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also.